Just to give you some information, kind of a highlight, if you would, of the book of Isaiah. Going through the book of Isaiah, preached there on Wednesday night and tried to help us understand the importance of being obedient unto the Lord. And Isaiah is coming on in a time whenever the children of Israel are turning away from what they know to be truth, turning away from what they know to be right, and living in a time where there's so much influence around them. And they begin to follow the crowd. They begin to do what others are doing. And they begin to get away from God. Isaiah sees the heart and the character of God. As we study through the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter number 6, verse number 1, the Bible says, I saw the Lord. I saw God. Isaiah sees that, and it is God who is revealed in Isaiah's prophecy. Isaiah sees Jehovah God in all His glory, in all of His character. And as he sees these things, he sees the rebellious people, and he begins to preach to them of their rebellion. And the Lord, of course, uses Isaiah in a great way. The revelation of God in the Bible is one of the infallible evidences that it is divinely inspired. As we look at the Bible and we find the revelation of God in the Bible, we know that it's divinely inspired because God gave a revelation. Amen. God showed us prophetic events. God showed us things that's going to come to pass. And there's things that he said would come to pass, and it came to pass. Amen. And so we know that the Bible is divinely inspired. We have the infallible evidences of that. But man could not conceive of such a God. Even in our day, man still can't conceive of such a God that would inspire the future in writings, that would project things to happen in people's lives, and that would send a Savior that could forgive a man of his sins. Man just can't conceive of such a God. But there is such a God. Amen. No nation has ever conceived of such a God as the God Jehovah. Every nation has struggled with trying to conceive that and understand that. The main purpose of Isaiah is to reveal God to Israel, not only to Israel, but to the whole world. As we read through the book of Isaiah, we know that he's dealing with Israel, but as I said before, it also applies, and we can use it as application to us in this day and age. As they rebelled and turned against God and went against the will of God, they suffered because of such, and God chastened them, and that still works today for those that believe, those that love the Lord, those that say they're saved. If we go against the will of God, the Word of God, God will chasten His children. This is a central theme of the Bible prophecy. It's not just about exciting our interest in the future. It's first and foremost about revealing God. Bible prophecy is not just about exciting our interest in the things of the future. A lot of times people will come to services. They'll come to preaching events. Whenever they advertise, they're preaching on the book of Revelation. Whenever I preached through it at Heritage, I had visitors that would come, and people found out I was going through the book of Revelation. They would come and sit and hear future events. It interests people about the future. But the Bible's not written for our interest. The Bible is written for our warning. Amen? The Bible is written for a whole other purpose, not to just excite our interest about the future. But first and foremost, the Bible was written about revealing God and His holiness, and His justice, and His mercy, and His grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. God is a Father who loves His children and cares about whether they love Him in return and chastens them for their disobedience. We read that in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. God is the Lord of hosts. His name appears 54 times in the book of Isaiah. It describes God as the great King who is at the head of an innumerable army, the heavenly host. We find that 1 Kings chapter 22, Psalms chapter 103. It tells us that God has all power at His disposal. There's no power above God. He is supreme. Amen? He has all power. There's none above Him. God is a holy lawgiver who punishes sin, according to Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 4. Kind of, like I said, I'm backing up, punting a little bit. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 4, we find that He punishes a sin. Amen? God doesn't dwell where sin is. The opening revelation of God is of His holiness. Isaiah chapter number 6, let me jump around just a little bit. Isaiah chapter number 6, verse number 1. In the year of King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain they covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. One cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Amen. So the Lord, we know, is we find in this passage of Scripture that is a revelation of God's holiness. He's holy. Amen. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. He is holy. Amen. And one such as Holy One of Israel, the one that's holy, is not found to dwell with sin. We find 30 times God is called the Holy One of Israel, or the Holy One, in the book of Isaiah. And I've got all those written down. I'm not going to call them all out to you. I'll give them to you if you want them. But 30 times, a little homework for you. Look how many times he's called the Holy One. It's impossible, though, to understand God's love and God's grace and salvation apart from a proper understanding of His perfect holiness and His justice. He's perfect in His holiness. He's perfect in His justice. Someone says, well, that's not fair. God never said it had to be fair. God never said He was fair. God said, I'm just. He's faithful, the Bible says, 1 John 1:9, He's faithful and just to forgive us. Amen? Never says He's fair. He's not a fair God. He's a just God. There's a difference. Amen? But we find in this revelation of God, we understand His perfectness, His perfect holiness, and His perfect justice. This is why the Old Testament precedes the New Testament, and why there's 39 chapters of Isaiah, just as there's 39 chapters of the Old Testament. It focuses on the judgment before the last 27 chapters, which focuses on His grace. Isaiah is a mini-Bible. It's 66 books of Isaiah, just as there's 66 books of the Bible. The first 39 chapters are given to the grace of God, amen? Or to focused on the judgment of God. The last 27 is given on the grace of God. God wants to reason with man and to save man. He is the God of salvation. The Bible teaches us that God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance, amen? Hell was not created for human beings. Hell was created for the devil and his angels because they rebelled against the Lord in heaven, rebelled against God, and hell therefore was created. But now those that reject the Lord Jesus Christ and refuse to call upon Him for salvation, they will find themselves in the devil's hell. That's why we say that, why we use that terminology, it being a devil's hell. It was created for him originally, and not for humans. We find there's many that do not want to accept the Lord as their Savior, and they find their place there being in torments as the rich man did. Throughout the book of Isaiah, we see God calling out men, pleading with men, trying to reason with them. We find that Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, He says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be red, amen, as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. We find that God has pleaded with men throughout the ages, and He's begged men, amen, to come, to try and to reason with them that they may come to salvation and come to a God that is willing, that is able, and that is capable to forgive them of their sins. Isn't it amazing that such a great God and all His power and all His greatness and all His grace and all His judgment and all of His mercy that would care about a man such as you and I, a human being such as you and I, enough to come to where we are, to convict our hearts, to plead with us, to open the door for us that we may accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. I mean, sometimes you get to thinking about that. That just gets plumb over my head that a God of the universe that has such power would care about some old wretched sinner like me. Amen. But He pleads with man and He strives with man. He tries to reason with him that they would come to salvation. In this, we see God's amazing humility. We see God's compassion. We see God's long-suffering. I'm glad, thank God, He was long-suffering to us. Amen. I remember the day whenever the Lord first convicted my heart and I didn't accept the Lord. I'm so glad that He's long-suffering. What does that mean? That means He didn't walk away and leave me because I didn't accept it. Amen. He was long-suffering. He came back again and He dealt with my heart again and I didn't accept it. it the second time. And I'm glad he's long suffering because, listen, I rejected it the second time and he come again. Amen. It convicted my heart. And thank God I accepted him on the third time. Amen. I felt like that was my last chance. But God's long suffering. He's compassionate. And he's, listen, it's amazing to have those abilities of such a great God. Amen. God will be born of a virgin as the Messiah that is prophesied in Isaiah chapter 7 and chapter number 9. Jesus is God. Everything we see in Jesus is a revelation of God. I was talking to someone not too long ago and they said, well, I thought there was three different people. I thought there was Jesus and I thought there was God and then I thought there was the Holy Ghost like three different people. I said, no, it's not three different people. It's all one. Amen. It's God in the flesh is Jesus Christ as the Comforter, as the Spirit. Amen. It's the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's the three in one. And they kind of blowed the little mind. They couldn't comprehend it. I said, you don't have to comprehend it. You just got to believe it. Amen. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost is revealed, amen, in Jesus Christ. You find that. Many times I'm not trying to be critical, not I'm just trying to preach Bible. But many times there's different types of religions and different people that they follow the Holy Ghost and everything they talk about is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And a lot of the holiness churches are that way. It's all the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will not draw attention to himself, but he'll point everybody to the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Pointing to the Lord. It's not about the Holy Ghost. Amen. Though we need the Holy Ghost, we need that conviction of the Holy Ghost. It's not about Him because God is revealed in Jesus Christ. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hope you understand that. The Bible says that God is Almighty. Isaiah chapter 13 verse number 6. This is the Hebrew name El Shaddai, which means the Omnipotent One. The word Shaddai is a word from Shad. Or Shedad, I guess that's how you pronounce that, which means to be burly or figuratively means to be powerful. God is almighty. Amen. He's almighty. There's not one need. There's not one trial. There's not one trouble. There's not one thing enters your life that God cannot handle. He's almighty. There's not one circumstance in this world God can't handle. He's almighty. God is the God of everlasting strength, Isaiah chapter 26 and verse number 4. God is the God of compassion who will swallow up death in victory and wipe away all tears from off all faces, Isaiah chapter 25 and verse number 8. Isn't it appropriate how they sung that song tonight? Will there be no more tears? Wipes all those tears away, Isaiah chapter 28 or 25 verse number 8. God's a God of compassion, amen. He'll wipe away those tears. God measures the earth and the heavens, Isaiah chapter 40. Before God, all nations are nothing, Isaiah chapter number 40. God is everlasting, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. God does not grow weary, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Can I stop right there for just a moment? I've had people tell me, say, preacher, I don't want to weary God with my prayers. You forgot who you're praying to? God don't get weary. Amen. God don't get weary. I don't want to keep taking my prayers and going because you know, I'm pretty sure He's tired of hearing it. God don't get weary. God's listening. God hears those prayers. Don't ever think that God gets weary listening to your prayers. Well, preacher, I prayed it over and over again. I'm sure God knows. Yeah, He does know. He knowed it before you ever prayed it. But He's listening. Amen. He knows the desires of your heart. He doesn't get weary. That'll make you shout right there and you get a hold of that. He don't get weary. God's omniscient. There's no searching of His understanding. He knows everything. According to Isaiah chapter 40, according to the Scriptures, amen, He knows it all. God is the Redeemer, Isaiah chapter 41. God is called Redeemer 13 times in the last section of the book of Isaiah. The Redeemer is one who purchases sinners from the slave market of sin by His own blood. How did God do that? Through Jesus Christ. Amen. God knows the future. Isaiah 42 verse 9, Isaiah chapter 46. God knows the future. What's your future hold? I don't know, but I know who holds the future. Whoop. Jehovah God is the only God. Isaiah chapter 43, chapter 44, chapter 45. Amen. He is the only God. There's none other. There's only one. God is the first and the last. Isaiah 44. God is the creator of all things. Chapter 44, verse 24. God's will is absolute and His plans will be accomplished. Do you get that? His will is absolute. I'm going to read that to you. Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46, verse number 10. The Bible says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, said, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. The God's will is absolute and His plans will be accomplished. Ain't no administration on this earth or on this world going to stop His plans. Amen. Tribulation's coming. I don't care what they say, it's coming. God will fulfill His plan. They can deny it all they want to, it will be fulfilled. God is faithful, Isaiah chapter 49, verse 7. God's thoughts and ways are different than man's, Isaiah chapter 55 and verse number 8. God is high and lofty. He's the high and lofty one that inhabiteth the earth in eternity, Isaiah chapter 57. God has a multitude of loving kindnesses, Isaiah chapter number 63. God is a God of truth, Isaiah chapter 65. All these things are revealed in the 66 books of Isaiah. It's just like a miniature Bible, amen? And it shows us the greatness of our God. Isaiah sees the glory of the Word of God. It is the standard for truth, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. The Bible is the sole authority for faith and practice. It is an inexhaustible well of joy and of blessing, Isaiah chapter number 12. The Bible, it will stand forever, Isaiah chapter 40. God's Word will stand forever. It will accomplish God's purpose, Isaiah chapter 55. It should be preached even to the scorners, Isaiah chapter 28. God looks to those that tremble at His Word, Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah sees the glory of God's salvation. He sees God's salvation from eternity past to eternity future. The term redeem and salvation appear 55 times in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah sees the Trinity planning salvation in Isaiah chapter 42. He sees Christ purchasing salvation, Isaiah 53. He was bruised. Brother W.R. mentioned it. It's ironic how he mentions that tonight, and it's part of the message. Amen. He was bruised for our iniquities. Amen. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 through 6. Christ purchasing our salvation. He sees Jehovah calling upon all the earth to look to Him for salvation, Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22. Salvation is necessary because of God's holiness and man's sinfulness. We find that in Isaiah chapter 1, Isaiah chapter 59. Let me jump over there to 59 real quickly. I want to read that verse of Scripture just because I want to read that verse of Scripture in your hearing, Isaiah 59. It's a very good verse of Scripture. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Hear that, hear that, hear that. Hear that, amen. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. God can, God will, is to save everybody, that no man die and go to hell, amen. God can save them. His hand is not shortened, neither is His ear heavy that He cannot hear. But the Bible says in verse 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. God can. God will forgive sin. God will save sinners. Amen. God will forgive the saints when they sin and be disobedient because He's a loving God. Amen. Hallelujah. His Word stands forever. Hallelujah. It should be preached among the scorners. Amen. Isaiah sees the glory of God's salvation. Again, it's mentioned, salvation mentioned 55 times in the book of Isaiah. Salvation is necessary because of God's holiness and man's sinfulness. Salvation is scarlet sin being made white as snow. Amen. What a blessing. Salvation is everlasting. Isaiah chapter 26, Isaiah chapter 51, and chapter 54. Salvation is everlasting. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Shall be saved. And we're given eternal life. So we're saved forever. Salvation is eternal. That's found throughout the book of Isaiah. For both the Jews and the Gentiles, it's salvation for both. Chapter 42, chapter 49 of Isaiah. It's the blotting out of transgressions. Isaiah chapter 44. Salvation, it's for the inhabitants of the entire earth. Isaiah chapter 45. It is accomplished by Christ the sacrificial atonement. Isaiah 53. We talked about that already. Salvation, it is imputed righteousness of God. Amen. Isaiah chapter 54. Salvation, it is free, but it must be received. Isaiah chapter 55. Well, I'm thinking about several passages in the Bible in the New Testament. Amen. I see John in that. Amen. I see Matthew in that. I see Romans in that. All that's preached throughout the New Testament, but it's also found in the book of Isaiah. Salvation is the offer of peace, Isaiah chapter 57. It's the offer of God's love and God's pity, Isaiah chapter 63. Isaiah sees the salvation of the Lord. Amen. He sees that and he preaches that to those in his day. Isaiah sees the entire future of Israel from his day to eternity. The northern kingdom's destruction of Assyria, he sees that, Isaiah chapter number 7, chapter 9, and chapter number 10. The siege of Jerusalem by Babylon, Isaiah chapter 29. Jerusalem's famine during the siege, Isaiah chapter 3. The carrying away of the mighty men, Isaiah chapter 3. Judah's destruction by Babylon, we'll find in Isaiah chapter number 6. Israel's restoration from the Babylonian captivity and the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the temple begins in Isaiah chapter 44, chapter 45. We find all that through the book of Isaiah. Israel's rejection of the Messiah, we find that in chapter 53. These are a lot of things that are found in the book of Isaiah. I just want to kind of wet your whistle tonight, if you allow me to use that terminology, kind of spark your interest, I guess is probably a better way to put that, in the book of Isaiah. It is an amazing book. It pictures the entire Bible in all 66 books. As we started out, Israel has turned against God. They've rebelled against God. They've allowed the influence of the world to persuade them to do what is not to the Lord's will, that's against the Lord's will. And God is sending them a message, sending them a warning to turn from that, to repent of that, return from your wicked ways and come, let's just sit down and reason this thing out. Amen. Let's get this worked out. I'll forgive you if you'll repent. And he sends the warning. We go into chapter number 2 and God is still sending that warning, trying to get men to understand that it's not their way, their will. Quit going through the motions. Quit making out like everything's all right and just doing this thing. Get your heart in it. Amen. Get your heart in what you're doing. Serve the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. God says, I'm tired of the put on stuff. Amen. I'm tired of the pretending. I want you to get sincere and I want you to get right and walk in close fellowship with me. The Bible there says, walk in the light of the Lord. Amen. Make sure that we're being obedient unto Him. He gives the warning just throughout all the Bible. We find that God gives a warning to His children. Amen. Repent, repent, repent. Amen. And it gives that to the lost man, it gives it to the saint, amen, to repent, to get your heart in tune with him and walk with the Lord, amen. I'll stop with that tonight. I just want to get your interest sparked there again. All these things is found in the book of Isaiah. It's such an amazing book. There's things that I go through. I could back all the way up in Isaiah chapter 1 and begin with verse number 1 and give you a history of the time frame and where we're at and who's the kings. He talks about Isaiah being the son of Amos, but it doesn't talk much about the father, but there's a lot of history about the kings and what takes place with those kings. Isaiah is a part of that. The book of Isaiah was written about the same time as the book of Jonah, the book of Micah. Those three books go together. Amen. That's the literacy of the Word of God. That's the inspiration of God, how He puts all that together. I mentioned that the other day with the other service whenever I was preaching, how Micah had quoted the very same thing, said the very same thing that Isaiah said, and it was two witnesses saying the same thing, so we know that it's a sure thing. Amen? We know the Word of God's sure, it's steadfast. We don't have to worry about that. We know that. That's settled. Amen. These are some things, though, I hope that you understand and you can get a hold of that we can share with the world and all those that are around us that God's give ample warning. He gave 66 books, and then within the 66 books, He gives 66 chapters in one book for God's people and for the people of the world to realize and understand there is a God in heaven. Amen. And He is revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Redeemer for mankind. So He's given it all. Amen. Someone once said that God bankrupt heaven so you could be saved. I don't like that terminology because God will never be bankrupt. Amen. But He gave a lot. Amen. He gave a lot for us to come to know Christ as our Savior. All right. Study your Bibles. Amen. Chapter number 2. We'll come back there, Lord willing, Wednesday night. Unless the Lord changes my mind, we'll come back to chapter number 2 and continue with our study in the book of Isaiah. Hope that's a help to you tonight. Hope I didn't go too fast. If I did, you didn't get all those chapters and verses, just hit me up and I'll give them to you. Or I'll send it to you, Marco Polo, because I did record it. Amen. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for the wonderful privilege you give.